Coming up on podcast 1244, Jay Leno in his garage gets to drive not one but two new EVs. Lucky git. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, Jeff Bezos seen driving a Rivian. Volkswagen CEO warning that we cannot delay the shift to electric vehicles. And Italy ready for a big battery plant. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 14th of October. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We're going to start down under. And I've got plenty of listeners in Australia. And if you like the look of the new Hyundai Ioniq 5, well, you're not alone because your fellow Aussies also like them. The first boatload have now sold out. In just over 2 hours of going on sale, the Ioniq 5 from Hyundai has been snapped up by those buyers that want to get hold of it. And the sister car to the Hyundai Ioniq 5, the Kia EV6, will be just as popular, I'm sure. Hyundai saying that 170 people placed orders for the car as soon as it was made available, building on 70 people who pre-ordered the car ahead of its local debut down under. All 240 which are being first shipped into Australia are now all spoken for. A spokesman for the brand said high load on its website caused technical issues before the car sold out after 2 hours lunchtime yesterday. Sounding a bit embarrassed by that, by the sounds of it. Timing is going to be, I say, early 2022, I reckon, for those cars to reach Australia. And of course, there'll be another batch, I'm sure, coming. Well, I'm not sure. I hope there'll be another batch coming as soon as possible afterwards as well, because the Ioniq 5 is an absolutely cracking car. What you want, of course, if you can get one, at least I would have here, the Project 45 car, which is the launch spec. So it's got the electric back seats that you can control from the front. It's got some other little toys and goodies that you want. Don't get me wrong, like, the ultimate spec is pretty amazing, but if you can get one of those, changing hands for early 50s, I think now. They're about £48,000 new, but yeah, it's crazy. Selling an EV on for more money than you paid it. It's bonkers, but hey, you want what you want. So, like, I've seen them on Auto Trader for 52, 54 maybe. It's just be the price that they're going for. And people are very happy to pay that because it is a stonking little car. And my Aussie listeners, by the look of it, totally agree. Hyundai Ioniq 5, totally sold out within 2 hours. Hopefully, if you were involved in some of that website hoo-ha, it wasn't too much of a faff. Next, we'll move on. Jeff Bezos, the man behind Amazon, is a chauffeur these days. He stepped down running Amazon. These days, he's just driving people around. Not Uber or Lyft, of course. No, he was chauffeuring William Shatner to the launch site, the rocket launch site, yesterday. And, of course, he was driving in a Rivian. Why would you drive anything else? Because Amazon are big investors. By the way, I think the highlight of this story here is that William Shatner, 90 years old. How is he 90? That doesn't seem right. He looks in fantastic shape anyway. Bezos having a bit more spare time on his hands to jump behind the wheel of a Rivian and say, come on, Shats, I'll give you a lift to the launch site. And so he did indeed do that. It's just, you know, obviously he's going to do that because Rivian, Amazon, etc., the connection. But it's just very cool that he did that. It's good publicity for electric vehicles as well because people were talking about it. Now, headline story, Jay Leno has driven not one, but two interesting new EVs, but very, very different. I don't think you could get any more different, actually. First up, he's been driving the new Aptera. I don't know a huge amount about the first iteration of Aptera, because it was mid-2000s. I wasn't tuned in to EVs then, even it's American EV, so quite a niche story, the name Aptera. I wanted this kind of very efficient, fully enclosed, hyper-efficient car, a three-wheeler, of course. Global financial crisis hit, funding kind of dried up, 2011 came, and the company was dormant until now, and Aptera is back. And so, yeah, this is a fantastic way to think about mobility. God, I hate that word. I can't believe I just used it. Let's talk about driving places. 1,000 miles of range on a single charge. 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. Top speed, 110 miles an hour. Because this thing is like, well, almost like a teardrop going through the air. It's entirely drag efficient. A drag coefficient of 0.13 CD, which is slightly crazy. Now, the vehicle does use cameras rather than side mirrors. That's not legal in the US, but surely it's got to be soon. Come on, we're all about efficiency on this podcast. And it's covered in solar panels as well. It's a two-seat cabin. It's a three-wheeler, so two up front and one in the back. The smallest battery size will do 250 miles. The biggest battery size, 1,000 miles, like I say. And Jay Leno's been driving this thing. Jay is such a big fan of electric vehicles, of all vehicles, but he's fascinated by EVs. And the pricing starts at $26,000. It goes up to $50,000. They say they've got 10,000 reservations. I'm not sure how binding they are. They have been on the Inside EVs podcast. That I do every Friday, and Aptera is interesting, but it's such a specific kind of look. The wheels are fully enclosed for aero reasons that, I mean, you've really got to want to drive this to actually buy one. A car that people will be driving, well, that doesn't look out of place, doesn't look space age, but it does, you will notice it, and that is the Hummer EV. Now, the Hummer EV is coming in, they might even ship a few at the end of this year, but either way, Jay Leno got to drive pre-production versions of the Hummer EV. This was certainly very complimentary. It wasn't really a review, if you like. I mean, he's been given access, so he's going to want to say, you know, he wants to keep them happy, I suppose. But yeah, it was more like a 4-minute ad, really, on his YouTube channel. Go and watch it, because it's interesting and he's funny. And he says, you know, if this was his own vehicle, he wouldn't be trying to crawl it across the rocks and the mountains they sent him up, but it's not his and he was giving it a go. And the Hummer is the star of the show, and it does look amazing. They explain crab walk. It is only 4 minutes, but I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more. And it's Jay Leno giving his thoughts on a pre-production version of the Hummer EV. But like I say, there was no real critique of the vehicle. Let me be kind and say that, because, well, I guess he was given access to something that nobody else has had an access to and drive. So, and it's Jay Leno. So, you know, I'll pop a link so you can read more in the show notes. Now, a couple of brilliant EV stories about tax breaks, incentives around the world. Argentina are in the news today, offering tax breaks to owners and manufacturers of EVs under legislation unveiled yesterday. Electric vehicles will be exempt from import taxes and not count towards your personal asset taxes, the economy minister Matias Kulfas said yesterday. Manufacturers of EVs will benefit from the anticipated return of value-added tax, accelerated depreciation on related investments, and loss compensation for up to 10 years. Argentina, another country, saying, look, we're going to incentivize EVs here, and here's a bunch of ways we're going to do it and make it great for you to make an EV and to buy an EV. Another place doing that, well, that is New York City announcing $75 million in funding for electric vehicles. I mentioned this story recently, but then there were a few bits and bobs that I missed out, so I'll just come back and mention that. And that was, I was talking about the school buses that New York City want to encourage to be on the road by 2035. But let me talk a bit more about the $75 million that New York City are investing in funding towards three main areas, really. Buying the new vehicles to replace their own fossil-fueled ones, retrofitting fossil-fueled ones that aren't at the end of their life, and installing infrastructure as well. 300 new EVs will be purchased to replace gas and diesel models, including 3 new electric buses, 78 electrified ambulances going into service. That doesn't sound like it's going to be any more than a plug-in hybrid, according to actnews.com. 275 fast chargers have been promised, on-street charging as well in New York City, helping out rideshare drivers and private owners of more than 15,000 EVs registered across the 5 boroughs. So, big investment happening there in NYC, and that can only be good news. Fantastic news there. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if any of my New York City listeners would like to read more about the in-depth details of that spending. Next, huge story coming up about Volkswagen's CEO warning about the risks of delaying the move to electric vehicles, and Tesla putting in mega chargers already. But hang on, the semi-truck's not coming for a year, or so we thought. What does it mean? We're going to find out. Stick around. Now, the CEO of Volkswagen has been warning that a delay in a shift to EVs could cost 30,000 jobs. I saw this story incorrectly reported. People getting the wrong end of the stick, saying that the move to EVs will cost 30,000 jobs. And of course, people leapt on that. The kind of EV haters leapt on it. And weirdly, like, a bunch of Tesla people in my timelines on social media were leaping on it, going, ha, 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 they're losing all their jobs. And I'm like, well, hang on, doesn't Elon Musk want everyone to make electric cars? I don't know. Some people are weirdos, aren't they? But That's not the story, so they can all calm down. The story is, if they bother to read it, that he warned a delay in shift to EVs will cost the jobs, not a shift to EVs, costing 30,000 jobs if they delay. The CEO of Volkswagen Group, Herbert Diess, telling the supervisory board meeting in September that the company could lose 30,000 jobs if they transition too slowly, according to a Reuters article yesterday, quoting two sources that they say have knowledge of the matter. Competition from new entrants in Germany, like Tesla, have really pushed the speed of things along. Tesla plans to produce 500,000 cars a year in Germany, 12,000 employees working at Giga Berlin, whereas Volkswagen's 25,000 employees making 700,000 cars at their Wolfsburg plant. A company spokesperson confirmed Diess's position that Tesla and others in Germany are heightening the urgency of the transition to EVs, but denying that specific calculations had been made on how many jobs could be lost if they delay. I'll pop a link to Yahoo Finance in the show notes if you'd like to read more about that article. Really, really fascinating. Reuters report on what he says. It goes into a lot of detail in that, so I'll pop a link in if you want to read more, and I won't do too much here, but that's such a huge source of encouragement that the head of Volkswagen, whether it's the world's biggest car maker or second biggest, according to whatever metric you believe, is so much behind electric vehicles. It fills me with confidence that actually, you know, we've got Tesla leading the way, we've got Volkswagen not far behind, and actually, you know, if Toyota, Honda, Mazda don't want to take it seriously, it's fine. We're going to be okay. We're going to be all right. Next, EV owners go further than fossil owners. Now, I've read versions of this research over the years many times, but always good to hear a new take on it. Electric car owners travel further in their cars over the space of a week than those that drive fossils, according to new research by Peugeot. A study of 1,800 UK drivers who drive EVs and also petrol and diesel found that electric cars cover 109 miles per week on average, 88 miles per week for petrol and diesel owners, according to renewableenergymagazine.com. So next time somebody says, I couldn't possibly buy an EV because it doesn't do 1,000 miles in a go, you say, well, the average person in the UK at least travels 109 miles in an EV per week. If they own petrol or diesel, 88 miles per week. So why do you want that 1,000-mile EV for? Oh, I don't want an EV because it doesn't go 1,000 miles and carry 14 of my kids while towing my horse box. Right, okay. Well, don't buy an EV then. I don't care. Everyone else is buying one, so you'll be left behind with you and your 14 kids and your horse box that you want to tow. Anyway, drivers of electric cars making up most of those mileage in commuting mileage, covering the pure electric cars were 127 miles was the average, but then they also interviewed people who drive plug-in hybrids as well, which do slightly less. The research coming ahead of expansion of London's ULEZ. What is a ULEZ, you may be thinking? It is an ultra-low emission zone, and only fully electric cars and those exempt from paying congestion charges from October 25th will be spared the extra fees of driving into London. So I guess for Londoners that don't want to stump up cash every time they drive into London and to be hit with fines by driving an old stinky diesel, well, they'll be wanting to buy an EV. That makes perfect sense. And generally there's the petrol crisis at the minute as well, other things going on. So that makes a lot of sense. But I just like a little story about EV drivers like to drive further. Of course, like if you have a great car and you like driving it, then it's inevitable that you might want to go a little bit further or drive your car more. Yes, of course. Next, Italvolt is the Italian company that's working with ABB to make a 45 gigawatt hour factory in Italy. Italvolt selecting ABB as their manufacturing partner in Italy. The two are going to work together on a big cell gigafactory located at the famous Olivetti site and being designed by the iconic Italian automotive design house Pininfarina Architecture. A key goal, says Green Car Congress, for Italvolt is to contribute to the green industrialization by becoming one of the main suppliers of cells in Europe and establishing Italy's presence as a battery manufacturer. Great news there that cell factories are cropping up all over the place. China still lead the way, but Europe is really trying to catch up and be energy independent. That's kind of some geopolitical stuff being thrown in there as well. But a lot of countries, and certainly continent-wide, or at least, you know, politically, wanting to decouple from China a bit, I guess I would say, being generous. Right, next, let's talk Tesla mega chargers. Tesla's semi-electric truck isn't coming until next year, according to Elon Musk at the recent shareholder meeting. So why on earth is construction underway of mega chargers? Well, of course, there are semi-trucks out there. Tesla are using them as test vehicles. And now they've been seen going up at their Gigafactory in Nevada. Spotted these mega chargers being built. Obviously, they're much longer, says the Electrek website, than you'd find at supercharger stations, because they are made for truck and trailers to drive into. So they're very, very long. With the charger, I would say, pretty much at the front of the station. And Tesla are part of Charin. Now, Charin is part of the European Working Group for promoting the CCS plug and standard. So they asked years ago, they asked for bids, if you like, or suggestions, designs for high powered commercial vehicle charging. Electrify America put one in with Tesla, ABB did, some other companies too, suggesting their own standards. And Charin have been deciding on which one to go with. And I really hope, whether they went with Tesla's or not, that if they didn't go with Tesla's suggested design of the connector, that Tesla go with the worldwide standard that will be, that Charin will put out, because all of the car makers, truck makers, tier one suppliers, all part of Charin. That's what, you know, whatever this plug is going to be for commercial vehicles, DC fast charging on the CCS standard, you want Tesla to be part of it, because it means so much, because they are at so much at the center of so much of the industry. So obviously, Jerome Guillen, former head of heavy trucking at Tesla, left in a hurry. That whole project has got a big cloud hanging over it because of his bizarre immediate departure of the company. And so you wonder what's going on. Maybe, you know, Tesla say that they went with their own proprietary connector originally in North America because there was nothing else good enough. And obviously here in Europe, they use the CCS connector. So I'm really hopeful. I'm hopeful because I want one standard. Standards are really important, and I would love Tesla to use that one commercial vehicle, that truck plug. But hey, they're building those stations now at Giga Nevada. Ooh, interesting stuff. Can't wait to see how fast they charge. Megawatt speeds. I think Charin was working on up to 3 megawatts. What? Insane. So fast. Man, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting times. Next, Volvo. Volvo Group, obviously, part of Sweden's Volvo Group, have unveiled a new electric vehicle. But this is an automated bucket, if you like. It's big, right? But it's designed to run on mining sites. An autonomous load carrier, like in quarries, right? So think of this huge truck that you would use in a quarry to dump rock into, but it's got no cab, it's autonomous, and it's made with fossil-free steel, made by their partners. It's a Swedish company, SSAB. Normally, to make, well, conventional steel manufacturing uses coal to extract oxygen out of the iron ore. But they've developed a new way of making steel using hydrogen. The important thing with hydrogen, of course, is that you use the electrolysis, the process that uses renewable energy to split the water into hydrogen and oxygen, and using that to make fossil-free steel. Brilliant. So interesting. I'll pop a link to TechCrunch in the show notes if you want to read more about that crazy little electric vehicle that uses, hopefully, good hydrogen, because, you know, many different forms. We don't use any reusing renewables for hydrogen. In that case, I have no problem with it, to make a great new technology. In China, they had a really great month of EV sales in September. One of my listeners mentioned that I didn't actually give the numbers. I mentioned it yesterday because I was talking about how well Tesla did, and I said, oh yeah, by the way, China had a great month. And he was like, yeah, do you mind giving us the exact numbers? And I forget, some people listen to this show, they like to get into the weeds. So yes, I will tell you. Last month in September, 357,000 EVs were sold in the month of September in China, between pure electrics and plug-in hybrids. They also include fuel cells, but there's none of those around. That's a 17.3% market share. Yes, in China, 17% for new energy vehicles. There was 2.067 million vehicles sold in China. 357,000 were what they call NEVs, new energy vehicles. Battery electric cars were the largest share, with 281,000 of those, according to electrive.com, just 61,000 PHEVs. In the current year, 2.157 million new energy vehicles have been sold by the end of September. That's 185% more than the same period last year. So there you go. That is your stats download. Hopefully, that listener is now very happy with all of the data that I've given on China doing really well in September with electric vehicle sales, even as the whole market starts to go down. Next, let's go to Japan and Honda introducing their first EV to the Chinese market sometime in 2022. We think next spring. It's going to be an all-electric sport utility vehicle. Honda introducing this to the Chinese market as part of a wider strategy that means they will only sell hybrids or EVs in China after 2030. So in 9 years' time, they're saying, well, we'll only really do hybrids in China, or maybe battery electric vehicles. Honda, not good enough, my friends. It's not good enough. You're going to be left out. That is not ambitious language that you are using there. So Honda have said earlier this year, it was around April time, that all of their cars worldwide would be EVs or fuel cell vehicles in 2040. Again, 20 years away? That's just not ambitious enough for the job that needs to be doing, job that needs to be done. Honda, I love your cars, but come on, it's not good enough. You've got to do better than that. What do you think? Am I being too harsh? Let me know. You can email me hello at evnewsdaily.com about that or anything else. Finally, we'll finish off today on the podcast with a bit of scientific research. The lack of power grids sealed the fate for the early electric cars. This research being done by Lund University. New research showing that insufficient infrastructure was key in the American car market and why gasoline took over. Electric cars were popular in the early 20th century, and if only electricity grids had been around 15 to 20 years before the first electric cars, a majority of producers would have opted for electric cars, according to this new study, researching from Lund University, showing that it was the infrastructure and not the cars that let down the first EVs in the early 20th century. So this new study is published in Nature Energy. I'll pop a link to sciencedaily.com if you want to read it, right? If you don't mind going back to the 1930s, bit of early electric vehicle stuff tells you how EVs were really popular early in the century. And actually, the cars were fine. It was the grid. It was the grid that let them down. Yeah, this is like a super scientific paper, so I'll let you read this if you want to. And if not, them's the headlines. It's all you need to know. Nice little curious one to end on the podcast today. That's your show. Thank you for listening. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. We're talking about buying a used car. Have you ever bought a used EV? If you have, did you look for a service history? If you will buy a used EV one day in the future, what do you think about service histories on EVs? Do you care or not? Let me know. Email me hello at evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to the Patreon family, and I couldn't do it without you. Thanks to the huge support from individuals and companies, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.